Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you.
Alan's Jewish background showed through there a little bit, that he was able to get that Elimelech. some of the Hebrew words, you have to sort of cough them out just a little bit. I'll get to one of those in a few minutes. I won't do the whole reading, but what I wanted to focus on with the rest of it was that Ruth goes back and reports to her mother-in-law. She says, so she gleaned in the field until that evening, then she beat out what had been gleaned, and it was about an ephah, or about 30 pounds of barley. I haven't used ephah recently as a unit of measure anywhere. But she goes and tells Naomi what had happened, what was going on, and she tells her that it was Boaz who was responsible for helping point her in the right direction. And Naomi says, blessed be he by the Lord whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. The word of God for the people of God. Almost had a male moment there, looking around, and I couldn't find the lectern. Yeah. If all I had to do was to just ask a woman and say, where is it? And it would have popped up, right? Last week, we started off our look at the book of Ruth with looking at Ruth 1. I didn't actually preach a whole sermon off of Ruth 1. I let the bitterness theme show through in the nature of what we did with the lighting of the candles and the focusing on the symbolism that existed there. So I want to go back just a little bit here and go back over a few of the words that are going on. Ruth is a masterpiece. It's an absolute masterpiece. It's a masterpiece as much as anything else from the economy of style issues, which is in just a very few number of words. The author has communicated a very powerful story. We don't know exactly when Ruth was written. There's the scholars on this particular topic are not of one mind. Some think it's quite old. Others think it's written more about the time of the return from the Babylonian exile. If you take that interpretation of it, part of what might have been going on there was a reminder that the king that they celebrate quite a bit, which was David, had in his bloodlines someone who, when they returned from Babylon, they would be running off. They would be inviting them to leave with pressure. As the Israelites, as the Jews returned from Babylon, they began to enter into sort of a racial purity, an ethnic purity moment. And if you were a woman who was married to someone who was Jewish, you were asked to leave. You were sent somewhere else to go live. And Ruth may have been written to remind the children of Israel, to remind the Jews that their celebration of David is also a celebration of David's Moabite heritage. Now, our ears, when we read this, when we hear this, we don't get the nuance and the subtlety that would have been apparent in this reading to someone who spoke Hebrew. For example, the city that they leave from, Bethlehem, is known as the house of bread. It's the house of bread. That's what Bethlehem means. And the names of the husbands of Naomi's children, Naomi's sons, would have had an echo in the Jewish mind, the Jewish ear, about some other things that are going on. One was Malon, which would have been a reminder of a disease that was from the Ten Commandments time, from Exodus. Chilion would be a word that has to do with perishing, with dying. So you have these names of the two boys, and they remind you of what's about to happen, some disease and perishing. Ruth is who the story is named for, but you could just as easily have called the story Naomi. Could have focused on Naomi. And Naomi starts off, I mean, her own self-confession about what has gone on for her is, it says, "I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." She leaves, she and her husband and her sons leave Judah during a time of famine. But she says, "I left full." Interesting irony there of what's going on. And she goes to Moab, and what happens in Moab? Her husband dies, and her sons die. So she's exhausted. She is depleted of some of her life force. "But the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi?" Naomi means pleasant. "When the Lord has dealt harshly with me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me." So she invites them instead to call her Mara, which means bitter. So she has left in a state of fullness. She has come back empty. She has left with a name of pleasant, and she's come back and she says, "I want you to call me, instead of pleasant, I want you to call me bitter." And that's the conditions by which we start chapter 2. Now, chapter 2, if you take out your Bible, 242 is where I am in that. But it says, "Now Naomi had a kinsman on her husband's side, a prominent rich man." Now, the words also could be translated as a man of good stock, a man of good character. Not just rich, but someone who was a pillar in the community. A little further down, it says something like, "as it happened," as it happened. There's a coincidence has transpired, and she has indeed gone exactly where it is that Naomi has suggested to her that she go. And as it happened. I don't know about you, but I think the narrator wants us to understand that it's not a coincidence. It's God's action is involved in this. Do you notice here about how it is that the people in the field refer to her? She's not referred only in this one context. A little further down, Boaz asks, "Who is this woman? Who is she?" And they don't give her a name. They talk about her in terms of where she's from. She's that foreigner. She's that foreigner. She's the Moabite who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. Could have easily, in our own terms, said she's that illegal alien, that illegal immigrant, that illegal person who's come back to town here. That would have been roughly the context of for our ears. And then further down, she says, about verse 10 or so, after she has this experience with Boaz, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me when I am a foreigner?" She reinforces that foreigner theme. And Boaz answered, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. Then we have this passage, which is, I think, the key to the understanding for the whole thing for us. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to refuge. The story for us is a transition for Naomi. Naomi starts the story off in time of the judges, and they leave Bethlehem at a time of the famine. Famine is going on, and they go somewhere else to go find their life. Naomi's own self-assessment of what's going on there: I left full. And then she gets back, and things are not what they were. And with the irony, of course, is the fact that she leaves Judah at a time of emptiness, at a time of famine. She thinks of herself as full, and she comes back from Moab to Judah, and she feels empty herself. And what's going on in the countryside all around her? The famine is over. And it is a chance for the Israelites, the Jews, to be able to harvest. The question might be for us is, who are we in the story? Many of us can see ourselves in the light of being like Ruth. We want to be sort of this redeemer. We want to be a sustainer. We want to be someone who is loyal. But I wonder how often that we instead look at the nature of this story and forget that many of us, my guess is all of us, at some point in time are very much like Naomi. Surrounded by the beauty, surrounded by things that should lead us to a place of potential thanksgiving, and all we can think of and all we can focus on is this bitterness of what it is that life has dealt us. And to be 100% fair, Naomi has experienced the bitterness of life. She's lost a husband. She's lost her children. This is in a world before 401ks. This is in a world before IRAs. This is in a world before Social Security. So she has basically come back to Bethlehem without any visible life support systems. But the answer that she finds there is to deploy this loyal daughter-in-law and sends her off. And she doesn't tell her. She sends her off, and she doesn't necessarily lead her to the whole story of her relationship with Boaz. But obviously, Ruth's loyalty to Boaz, to Naomi, has been part of the story. Somehow, the word has gotten back to Boaz as to who she is and how loyal she has been. And her loyalty is repaid by Boaz overwatching. The nature of the story is for us to understand what it is that God's love looks like in an enacted fashion. God's chesed. I have to give that aspiration that Alan gave so well when he pronounced Elimelech. God's chesed, God's kindness. And it's not to be understood in an abstraction. It's not something you talk about and then don't do. God's chesed, God's love, is enacted. And you see this enacted by Boaz towards Ruth. And Naomi moves from a place of emptiness she begins to move to a place where she starts to see God's kindness, God's chesed lived out. And she sees that and she says, this is what God's love looks like. So what does this say to us in the 21st century? What is the invitation for us today? It's the same as it is for Naomi. It's for us to understand that God's love needs to be seen as an enacted fashion. It's love acted out. It's love acted out in such a way that we begin to see what it looks like in the world and how lives are changed and how lives are transformed as a result of that love. Love is not an abstraction. Love is not an abstraction. For Naomi, for Ruth, they are redeemed through this love that is shown to them by Boaz, Ruth towards Naomi, and Naomi moves from a place of emptiness, from a place of bitterness, and we can start to see her in this story of moving gradually, step at a time, ever so slowly, to a place where she returns to having her name be Naomi, pleasant, and she starts to see herself full again. It is easy for us to take a look at the circumstances of life and get ourselves so focused on the things that go badly, the cancers that we've just gone through, deaths, employment, unemployment. But rather, what this passage is for us today invites us to be able to see that even in these times of dark moments, it's a chance for us to allow others to love us and also to love others, not as an abstraction, but rather as an action. God's love acted out in the world. Naomi is in a state of transition. She's moving from one place to another. Where are you? Where are you in the story? Are you perhaps moving from a place of bitterness, from a place of emptiness, to a place of pleasantness, to a place of seeing the world in a more positive way? Or are you maybe one of those who sees those that are embittered and empty, and you enact God's love in some kind of small, humble way? Where are you in the story? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come to you on this reading of Ruth, and ask ourselves, where are we in the story? Are we perhaps a little bit like Naomi, embittered by life, cynical, angry? Or are we maybe like the Naomi in transition, starting to see that God's love is there, even in the times of darkness, even in the times of emptiness? Or are we maybe like Boaz, touched by the grace that Ruth shows to her mother-in-law and wanting to be generous and be helpful? Or are we perhaps like Ruth, who clearly shows gratitude for God's love enacted by Boaz? Where are we in the story? Lord, may we be illuminated by your Holy Spirit and given wisdom and be able to see your love enacted. And all of God's children say, Amen. Please stand as you're able.
Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you.